When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
I think I'm closer to God.
CITR 101.9 FM, Cushy Entertainment, and Strange Breed are proud to present Permanence, Strange Breed's debut album release party with special guests Wrong, Fallen Stars, and Kitty Prozac. It's happening September 14th at Redgate Arts Society. This event is all ages, $10 in advance or $15 at the door. You can find out more info on Facebook or visit www.strangebreedband.com.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 13th of September, 2019, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest. We're right here on the Musqueam territory of Elk Sen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, the Fringe Festival is winding down, but there's still 3 full days left to catch those must-see shows you promised you wouldn't miss. Plus, there's entertainment at the Fringe Bar. We'll give you a little preview of some of the music you can hear. And we'll talk to Elaine Carroll of Miscellaneous Productions, a Vancouver-based nonprofit that uses art to promote social change and personal transformation in culturally and socially at-risk youth. In other words, it's a hip-hop theater boot camp for youth. We'll talk to her in a few minutes. We'll also keep you informed on events going on this weekend. We'll have the usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Well, I'm just going to take a moment or two to get Elaine on the phone, and while we're doing that, we're going to hear some music. This is Robin Lane and the Rhythm Makers, a local kind of a Latin jazz Mexican kind of band, and they're going to be playing at the Fringe Club on Granville Island tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. ¶¶ So that's Robin Lane and the Melody Makers, the Rhythm Makers. No melody here, just rhythm. And they're going to be playing at the Fringe Club tonight at 8 o'clock. You want to get down there and have some fun. Speaking of having fun, one of the fun things about doing this show every week is I get to get exposed and introduced to all kinds of really interesting and creative and exciting groups and organizations that are using theater to do all kinds of creative and productive things in the community. And with that build up, I want to introduce you to Elaine Carroll of Miscellaneous Productions. Hi, Elaine.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Now, first of all, let's start by just talking a little bit about what Miscellaneous Productions is. It's the official line I was given is that it's a Vancouver-based nonprofit that uses art to promote social change and personal transformation in culturally and socially at-risk youth, which is all very laudable and a big mouthful, but I noticed that you prefer to call it a hip-hop boot camp.
Hip-hop theater boot camp.
Boot camp, yeah.
Yeah, with a lot of dance thrown in there. Mm-hmm. We include hip-hop and contemporary dance in our last number of productions.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had a hip-hop dance component in everything and a drumming component. So we also do a lot of international drumming. So in this show, we're doing taiko drumming.
Oh, yeah.
With Bonnie Soon and Jason Overy from Mizumi Taiko. They've trained the youth and they've created a new composition for them to perform.
Wow.
And also they created a separate composition that they play on tape and that the youth do a contemporary dance to that was choreographed with Amber Funk Barton.
Wow. That's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's take it back a little bit. Let's talk about the start. How long has Miscellaneous Productions been around?
We've been around almost 20 years.
Wow.
We were founded, I like to say that we were founded in East Vancouver
uh-huh.
by a group of activists, including trans people, women of color, and queer women. And
just a lot of troublemakers.
A lot of troublemakers started this organization. Oh, yeah, big troublemakers.
Yeah.
Now, a number of us have scattered to the wind. One of the founders is living in San Francisco. Another one of the founders is living in New York and Boston.
Yeah.
And a third founder, I believe, is in Victoria now. So there's just Yuki Matsuno, I think, and myself who remain in Vancouver. And Yuki's a labor lawyer and a negotiator. So it was a really fascinating group of women and queer people who mm-hmm. started and trans people who started the organization. And our first project was in memory of Rena Virk. We worked with the Richmond Gateway Theater and the City of Richmond and a group of Richmond youth to look at the issues that came up in the Rena Virk case. And then we created a site-specific, multi-location, roving performance mm-hmm. in the City of Richmond.
Yeah.
And the audience was traveled on yellow school buses and by foot all over the city to different locations where the youth reenacted scenes that were loosely based on what happened to Rena Virk.
Yeah, just as a footnote, let's just remind the audience who Rena Virk was and what happened to her.
I believe it was, my dates may be incorrect, but I believe it was in November 1997.
Right.
Rena Virk was a 15-year-old South Asian young woman who was challenged by many things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And her family was a little bit at a loss of how to support her. And she got involved, unfortunately, with a very destructive group of girls and a few boys. And that led to a brutal, brutal beating
yeah.
around the Craigflower Bridge in Saanich, B.C., which isn't that far from here. And and she was killed. She died. And Kelly Ellard, I heard, I think, is the young woman who killed her, who was 15 at the time, I believe is just getting out of prison now.
Mm-hmm.
So Kelly Ellard came from an extremely wealthy background, had the best lawyers and the best help. But I went to a lot of the trial here in Vancouver, and I would have to say that my experience with Kelly Ellard is that she showed no remorse.
Yeah.
In fact, she seemed to enjoy the attention. So it was a very troubling case of girls perpetrating violence against another girl.
Yeah.
And it also, the case also inspired a very great piece of theater called Shape of a Girl by Joan MacLeod. So
yeah, to be honest with you, I have trouble with that work.
Yeah.
I think that it's not written in the voice of young people, and mm-hmm. I think that it's very much a white woman's perspective on what happened to a youth of color.
Yeah.
Our performance, the cast was mostly girls of color. There were some boys and some white kids in it, but the narrator of the piece was played by Namrita Hare, who is a very fine young professional actress now,
mm-hmm.
and she is South Asian, and she identified very strongly with Rena, but decided to take on the role of one of the bullies, and then stepped out as a kind of Brechtian technique to narrate the piece. So, I mean, I saw Joan MacLeod's, and I have respect for her work, but I thought it was a bit of a whitewashing of the issues,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was a bit of a, that kind of thing that Hollywood does, where the white person, swooshes in like a Marvel comic character to rescue the poor bullied girl. So, I that's not the way it happens in real life. If you sit down and you actually spend time with youth who have had these experiences, they're not resolved that easily.
Mm-hmm.
These are issues that linger. Yeah. We worked last year on a couple of years ago on a piece called Monsters. It was a hip hop version of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And there was a young woman in the cast who was a little bit older who talked, she was I think 24 at the time. And she talked about how her experiences of being bullied in school, being bullied at a certain high school here in East Vancouver, have really scarred her for life.
Mm-hmm.
And how she's never really been able to fully get over her experiences. So she is, I see now in her life, using a lot of dance and theater and festivals to really heal from the experience. And she's a young woman of color as well. So I think that when we're talking about artistic responses to what happened with Rena Virk, I think that it's important to listen to what young people have to say, especially young people coming from racialized backgrounds. And I think it's very important for us to also hear stories. For instance, we work quite extensively over the years with Indigenous youth. And there was a young Indigenous girl who's now older and, in fact, does consultation for us about Indigenous issues. And she also had terrible experiences of being bullied by other Indigenous girls and white girls. And that experience to me was more analogous to what happened mm-hmm. with Rena than anything in Shape of a Girl.
Yeah.
So, we're working in a different way from the mighty white playwrights of BC. We're working in a way in which we are challenging the way work is created, because we're creating it. We're not doing verbatim theater. We're not doing that, because I think that's kind of creepy, but we're actually working with the youth telling their own stories. It's their voices. It's their experience. We're hearing directly from them. And we as adults are forced to sit in that theater to watch it for, the hour of the show and listen instead of create fairy tale situations, Disneyfied fairy tale situations in which youth are rescued by the mighty white girl.
Yeah.
So I think that we have to start really providing more analysis and shutting up.
Sit down, shut up, and listen.
Yeah. Well, it's about time. I mean,
no, I agree. I agree with you completely. I think it's important that the people that are actually involved, that are experiencing having the experience, have a voice and let us know what's going on, rather than let others tell them what they're experiencing.
I think that's a lot of what we need to learn. I mean, even if you look at other issues of disempowered people, like the so-called reconciliation movement, I think there's a cynicism. What I'm hearing so much from Indigenous people right now is that there's a cynicism about it, because, again, it's it's the white savior complex.
Yeah.
Rather than us really sitting and listening and trying to come up with some kind of justice for these people, you know, the people of Turtle Island who have been so damaged by colonization and the effects of it. But I think we should probably talk about the show.
We got an hour. You can talk about anything you want.
Oh, really? Are we talking for a whole hour?
No, we're not talking for a whole hour.
Okay.
I just didn't want you to. I just didn't want you to feel constrained. Like I'm, you know, everything you're saying is worth listening to. So I didn't want to.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, no.
Well, I'm no expert. I'm just at this point. I'm just listening. And yeah. I'm just trying. My job is just to sort of figure out conceptually in live performance. Or in theater, or in dance, or in music, how can we convey this to an audience and make it accessible? Because a lot of our audience, for instance, speaks English as a second language.
Yeah.
So even like our last piece, Monsters, which was so much based on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which is written in a very dense, complex language. And when we sat down to sort of deconstruct that book and make it into something that we, a story we could tell, it was good to have in the room some younger youth whose first language was not English and who said to us, you know, how can we make this sentence more accessible?
Yeah.
And what does it really mean? And you know, so it was a really good process, and that piece was very strong. And it was also very interesting to hear from youth who are learning English how they learn new words. It's you know, for anybody learning a language that is not their first language, how do you make a language accessible while still keeping the flow and the poetry of the original?
That's a fascinating exercise. I think we can all benefit from something like that, where you take something that is kind of old and archaic, and find a way to make it make sense to a contemporary audience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the way we told Monsters was we had the youth research monsters from their own cultures, and then they each selected a monster, and I cast them in the different roles from the original Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, though most of our cast were women, or young women and girls, so a lot of the genders were either gender neutral. For instance, the creature was gender neutral, and the original Victor Frankenstein became Victoria Frankenstein. And that young actor went through a really interesting process to figure out whether she was going to play Victor or Victoria. So it was just really fascinating to watch them.
which is an interesting choice of names, because that, of course, is Victor Victoria is a famous story about gender roles and cross-dressing. And
we were conscious of that.
We
borrow, you know, we're constantly borrowing from musical theater and Broadway musical.
Mm-hmm.
That was a conscious decision to do that. And we had a lot of fun doing it. And then the actress who played Victor Frankenstein, her decision was to make Victor Frankenstein pretty much a sociopath.
Yeah.
So it was a really interesting, cool performance. You know, the creature was really the tragic hero of the piece.
Yeah.
Though, like, it was interesting also because when we performed it on the closing night, there were a couple of 12-year-olds in the audience, and I remember asking their mom, I think one was 10 and one was 12, you know, telling them there's a lot of violence in this play and we're actually recommending it for older youth. And the mom said, no, it's okay. My kids can see this. I'm with them. And at the end, we always do a Q&A, and one of the 10 or 12-year-old children put up her hand and said, tell me something. Is it true that Victoria Frankenstein and the creature are really the same character?
Ooh.
And I said, people go to university for 4 years to try to figure that one out. So I think that we have to also, like, going back to listening to youth, I think we have to realize also that youth are much more sophisticated now than they've ever been, and that...
Or even that we've ever given them credit for. I think, you know, that's something I don't think that has really changed. I think that, you know, we tend to infantilize children. and exactly. don't give them credit for having working brains. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing happened. We did a hip-hop version of Romeo and Juliet called Cuts and Dogs, and the instead of being performed by humans, the youth played alley cats and junkyard dogs, and the whole performance took place in the Fair Verona junkyard.
Yeah.
So it was a really fun piece to make. And then we had very young audiences for that piece. I think the age there was about six or seven and up. And it was at the Children's Festival. So the comments from the children during the Q&A were just fascinating. We were so impressed by their knowledge of the original Shakespeare, their knowledge of, we also borrowed with that one, we borrowed quite a bit from West Side Story.
Yeah.
So they were so, such interesting questions and such sophisticated questions. We never give young people enough credit.
Yeah.
And the way their intellects are developing is very, very different from 20 years ago even. So though the youth we originally worked with 20 years ago, they were pretty brilliant, and
mm-hmm.
I'm still in touch with most of them,
yeah.
With all of them, in fact. And it's a pretty interesting process,
yeah.
And a pretty interesting...
Well, it sounds like your job is just a lot of fun and very rewarding. I'm excited. I want to join. Have you got room for a middle-aged, overweight, cis white male?
Well, maybe not right now. Maybe on our board one day. Our board is really popular right now. We have eight people on our board of directors, but usually the adults, if they come work with us, they come work with us.
Yeah.
Our professional team for this show is, we have 46 professionals, 3 interns, and we have a number of volunteers. We have 8 board members, and
yeah.
then the 5 youth in the cast, they're pretty extraordinary.
Where do you get your cast from? How do you recruit either participants?
It's quite a process, and we spend a great deal of time doing outreach to schools, community centers, youth centers, Indigenous groups, multicultural groups, all kinds of schools, definitely, and especially in East Vancouver. We concentrate on East Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to reach the youth who don't have access to professional performing arts training.
Yeah.
So our outreach happens year-round. We also do outreach in the province. We've done outreach across Canada, and we're popular in Europe as well. We've done work in Belgium, in France. I was just in France in June and early July doing some work there. And we spend a great deal of time going out to talk to youth workers, social workers. These are all people serving young people in various capacities, teachers, principals, and then we will do free workshops in the community. So we will go, for instance, into the Britannia Community Center Latin American Youth Group, and we'll do an afternoon of free hip-hop dance, and then we'll do a bunch of improvisations. And often we try to bring, we have a staff team that speaks over 30 languages, so often we try to bring, you know, if we're working with the Latin American youth group, we'll come with a couple of Latin American interns.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time we did that, we had a great young woman who played the Mercutio character in Cuts and Dogs, and she interned with us for a number of years. She's fantastic. And her character in Cuts and Dogs was Fluff Cuscio, because she was a little dog,
yeah,
a little yappy dog. And but she was a fantastic, she's become a professional youth worker now. And at the time that we did that that outreach, because so many of their youth were new immigrants to Canada, we did need somebody on staff who spoke the language fluently. So we were able to do the workshop in two languages, and Laura was able to translate for me. And I think either Jorge Alcala or Jorge Escobar, I think it was Jorge Escobar, another one of the youth from Cuts and Dogs who interned with us, came with us and also provided that language support. But also we get our youth interns and our youth who are in our casts to provide a lot of the direction of the workshop, and they give a lot of the workshop themselves. We train them to give it themselves. Mm-hmm. So not only are they cast members, but like with that project, Away With Home is going to be going on what I call a mini tour in BC. Yeah. So we're going to be going to the West Bank First Nations in mid-October, and then at the end of October, we're going to the Victoria Friendship Center, the Indigenous Friendship Center there, and we're going to give free workshops to the youth in both locations. I think in West Bank, they usually like to bring the entire community.
Yeah.
So they'll bring, you know, youth, but they'll also bring really little kids, and they'll bring aunties and grandmas, and everybody dances together. And then it's usually the youth who do the workshop portion, and we do youth-only discussions. I take all the adults out of the room, and then we have our own discussion about issues in the community. And then I bring that back to our funders and various people, politicians, et cetera.
Yeah.
Pretty fascinating. With this new show is done in a bit of a cabaret format with a number of monologues woven through that are the stories of the lives of the youth in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
And while we are focusing on issues of home identity and belonging, we're also digging down a little bit deeper, and the youth are, you know, we started off the performance talking about housing crisis, talking about what is home, what is belonging, what is identity. But I followed the youth because they veered off in another direction. And I think one of the strongest themes in the show is mental health. Just about every monologue, whether it's an allegory or whether it's talking very directly about certain experience, it's talking about mental health. There's one monologue that was written by a young woman who didn't like acting, but she gave us the monologue that she wrote. She was in the performance, but she didn't enjoy performing.
Yeah.
But she wrote this incredible piece called, we're just calling it Carmina, and Carmina Chang wrote it. And it's about being 13 and clinically depressed.
Oh.
And trying to understand what that is, because she wasn't exhibiting any self-destructive behavior, but she was a depressed 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about, she doesn't really reveal, and she doesn't feel ready to reveal why, what triggered the depression, but she does talk about how the Japanese manga Tsubasa was her way of coping with the depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then what brings her out of the depression is connection, because one of the reasons she's so depressed is she's isolated, and she's isolated herself because she doesn't understand what's happening. And a lot of the themes in this new piece, I think, are about connection, disconnection. They are so much talking about, the youth are talking about alienation. They're very frustrated. There's a burning frustration that you can feel throughout the entire work. There's a tension of being unable to express themselves in a way that adults can hear or their friends. There's a lot of talk about poisonous people, and they're talking about peers. They're talking about what they call optimistic nihilism, which it's quite frightening. They're talking about how terrified they are.
Yeah.
They're talking about how they think that the world isn't going to last very long, so we might as well dance. You know, it's a really fascinating approach to the way a 14 or a 15 or a 17-year-old would talk about their lives. Mm-hmm. There's a young man in the show, Arjun Panesar. He's talking about his father who has early onset dementia. And his dad is probably in his 50s. And this young man is only 21 years old.
Yeah.
Now, early onset dementia, that's quite something for a 21-year-old. I'm 59, and I dealt with that with my mom in my 50s mm-hmm. and found it difficult. So being 21 and seeing a man that you idolize disintegrate before your eyes intellectually can't be easy for a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
So the themes in the show are more complex, I think. It's not a single-issue show.
Yeah.
You know, Monsters is more about an anti-bullying, anti-violence. Same thing with Cats and Dogs. There's more of a sort of trajectory of this is what it's about. With this, with Away with Home, it's a little bit looking at all these smaller issues that accumulate in larger issues.
Yeah.
There is a young woman, Lucy Luau, who's talking about her experience of immigration and how isolated that made her feel once she was going to school as a 10-year-old in Canada. And it's things that we don't know. I mean, I was astounded when I heard her story because I hadn't heard anything like that before. I know that kids feel alienated when they come over, but they find one or two friends or somebody to talk to, but she had nobody to talk to in her school, and she couldn't communicate across language. And there's no ESL until you get to high school.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I know.
That's quite
it's
awful,
a problem.
Yeah.
I think it's a problem in our education system, and
yeah.
I think that it needs to be so. With little kids, they just throw them in, or medium-sized kids, really. They just throw them in to the general student population and just hope that they'll learn English.
Yeah.
There's no separate class. There's no sort of streamlining them into a program until they're comfortable in English, and then they can put them in the regular classes. There's nothing like that. She was thrown in and she had nobody to talk to. And, you know, she feels that while she should have been footloose and fancy free and laughing and joking, she became this very serious, very, very depressed 10-year-old.
Yeah.
You know.
You could.
So I think that those are things we really have to look at in our society.
Mm-hmm. Well, we get to look at it in 2 weeks. You've got
in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th at the Scotiabank Dance Center, the Ferris Family Studio. And it's away with home. I keep wanting to say away from home, but it's away with home, which I find, I mean, it's an incongruous title. Let's put it that way. It does kind of, you know, it's sort of deliberately off-putting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that was, it's the title of Lucy's monologue, and the youth decided that would be the title of the performance, and they chose it. And Lucy was very intentional because now Lucy speaks English very well.
Yeah.
And she's an exceptional writer.
Yeah.
And I think she was very intentional because she's talking about still having roots in China, but feeling uprooted and feeling ambivalent about, very ambivalent about China, especially we've been talking quite a bit about what's going on in Hong Kong and
mm-hmm.
the activism there.
Yeah.
And she actually has, she's a little bit nervous about talking about some of the politics, but we keep telling her it's your perspective and your perspective. Nobody can tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's your, you know, you're living here now. She also has some ambivalence about living here. It's a very interesting, very nuanced piece. There's some comedy in her piece. There's some funny stuff about her sisters and her mother.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very, very interesting piece. It's a very interesting piece. So it's almost stream of consciousness, her piece. But there's definite themes of alienation, connection, disconnection, an ambivalence about what is home, an ambivalence about what is culture, an ambivalence about identity. They all do. It's interesting, more than any group that we've ever worked with, they have more ambivalence about their identity than we've ever seen before.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
They
in Lennox Johnston Hughes' monologue, one of their monologues, they talk about. I'm just trying to think of the line. How their identity is not fixed.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very, very interesting.
Wow. Well, congratulations on putting together what sounds like an amazing evening of theater, and I can't wait to see it. Once again, it's on the 27th and 28th at the Scotiabank Dance Center. Tickets are $12 in advance from Brown Paper Tickets or $15 cash at the door. It's Away With Home from Miscellaneous Productions. Do you have a website or any other way that people can get more information?
Yes. Everything's on our... We're on Facebook,
yep.
Miscellaneous Productions. We're on Instagram and Twitter at MISC Community.
Mm-hmm.
And our website is www.miscellaneousproductions. Make sure you get the S at the end of productions.
Okay.
.ca.
All right. Elaine Carroll, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about Miscellaneous Productions and Away With Home, and have a very successful run at the Scotiabank, and also the tour you were talking about.
Thank you so
well
much.
Done.
Really appreciate it. We're going to be making a film of the show as well. It will probably be up on YouTube in the new year.
Looking forward to it.
We have a distributor for it at V-Tape in Toronto.
Great.
If school groups want to get a proper screening rather than screen it from YouTube.
Yeah. Great. Elaine, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Okay, we got time for one more song. This is another performer who's going to be at the Fringe Club tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Fringe Pub. It's musician Andrew Judah.
Seek the truth.
There you go. That's Andrew Judah at the Fringe Club tomorrow night. Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. And to start off, we've got two job postings here at CITR. One is a part-time assistant. It's the Accessibility Policy Development Assistant. And the other is a full-time job. It's the Editor-in-Chief of Discorder Magazine. Both those jobs are posted on the CITR.ca website. I think the Accessibility Policy Assistant is a funded job for students, but Discorder Magazine Editor is open to anyone who wants it. So, like I said, check out our website to find out the details and send your applications in now. It is now the this weekend, Sunday, is opening day for applications for the Real Wheels Theatre National Call for Submissions for Playwrights Who Live with Disabilities to participate in a residency beginning in 2020. You can find out details about this. The selected playwright will be announced in December and receive a flexible package of supports customizable to their needs, including dramaturgical support, workshop space, access to professional actors, disability accommodation. I'm wheezing a little bit, I think. There, that should clear it up. Anyway, you want to find out details, you can go to realwheels.ca, that's realwheels.ca, and look up Playwright in Residence. Theatre West Van is holding auditions for Gaslight by Patrick Hamilton. This is a play that's going to be up at the K Meek Center in October. And right now they are looking to cast one character, a leading male role of Jack. Jack is described as tall and good-looking at about 45 years old, perhaps a little too well-dressed, suave and authoritative, but has a touch of mystery and bitterness, British accent preferred. If you want to try out for this part, you can contact the director, Peter Isaac, and his email is pisaac@shaw.ca. Theatre in the Country in Langley is doing The Man Who Saved Christmas, the story of the guy who invented the Erector Set. And that's auditions are happening this weekend on Sunday and Monday at Theatre in the Country in Langley. The production itself is in November and December. And you can go to Theatre in the Country. Do I have a website? Yes, theatreinthecountry.com. To get the details on that. And we've got Vagabond Theatre and Capricorn Theatre in New Westminster are doing Once Upon a Fairy Tale by Lauren Trozak. That is going to be up in December, and the auditions are this week, Sunday and Wednesday at the Burning Leg Theatre in Queen's Park in New Westminster. Secondary Characters Musical Theatre Society in Chilliwack is doing Elf the Musical, the stage musical based on the on the Will Ferrell movie. That's going to be up in December. The auditions are the 20th and 21st. That's next weekend at the Chilliwack Players Guild Hall. And their website is secondarycharacters.org for more information on that. We've got the Fort Theatre Society doing A Home for Jojo by Annette McDermid. And this is the story of a puppy who on Christmas Eve is still looking for his home and a lonely child who really, really wants a puppy. Directed by friend of the show, Nancy Von Yu. And that is happening in November and December at the Burnaby Village Museum in the Deer Lake area. The auditions for that are at the Bonzer Rec Center in Burnaby on September 25th. Fort Theatre, which is spelled F-O-R-T-E, theatresociety@gmail.com. Another friend of the show, Mary Littlejohn, has written a play called The Untold Legend of Imogen Flight. This is follows the exploits of a fictional sword fighter, fictional sword fighter extraordinaire, Imogen Flight. That's going to be happening in spring of next year, February and March, and the auditions are on the 26th and 28th of September at the Carousel Theater on Gravel Island. You can contact them by email. It's fabulousauditions@gmail.com. We've also got auditions coming up in October for Royal City Musical Theatre. They're doing the George and Ira Gershwin Crazy for You. That's going to be happening in April of next year. The auditions are the 3rd, 7th, 8th, and 9th of October. If you want details on these or other audition notices, you can go to VancouverActorsGuide.com. Or go to the Vancouver Public Library website at vpl.ca. And if you look outside, you might notice there is a full moon. And when you get a full moon this close to the autumnal equinox, which is next weekend, it's called a harvest moon, which is a good excuse to play Neil Young.
Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go dancing in. Let's go out and feel the night. Because I'm still in love with you, I wanna see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you.
And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. And please like us on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just look up at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And remember to subscribe and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. Stick around because Audrey's coming up here next with Too Dreamy, followed by Bepi Crespin at 2 o'clock. And our very own star on the Walk of Fame, Nardwar the Human Serviette at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at the same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.